Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Shaq Show is a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to another Shaq Show, and we have some major inside the Beltway, first world inside baseball news that broke Sunday night from Doug Ferguson at the Associated Press, that out of nowhere, really, the United States Golf Association's media deal, a very controversial one with Fox, signed in 2013 that commenced in 2015, had suddenly come to an end and was going back to NBC and Golf Channel and the digital streaming app Peacock as part of a pandemic-related essentially buyout, trade out, whatever you want to call it, phase out. The USGA is going to get all their money, about $93 million a year. NBC Golf Channel appears to be paying essentially what they were paying before, not even what they bid and ultimately lost in 2013. And so to go back and review this and why it's important for the sport, why it's an interesting business story, a media story, I have called up my old pal. Oh, boy, I called him old. He's not going to like that. Ron Cyrak, 18 years at Golf Digest, Golf World, 18 years before that at the Associated Press. He wrote the definitive story on this incredibly bizarre behind-the-scenes negotiation and saga that included things like Arnold Palmer flying to 30 Rock to be part of a presentation for the USGA officials, who appeared, as you read the story, to have already made up their mind to go to Fox at the time. It was all very strange, at least some of those USGA officials. I think in history has told us that Mike Davis, the executive director at the time, was not one of those people. And so I'm sure he's a very happy person with the news that they're back at NBC Golf Channel. Not that I think he begrudged anything that went on at Fox, but certainly I think he was not pleased with how the whole thing went down back then. Anyway, why it's also interesting to me, of course, is what has happened to the USGA. And obviously, there are certainly elements like anchoring and rules issues and the presentation of the U.S. Open and the sort of disappearance of the amateur game in some ways and all these elements that are making their job very difficult. And some of those have been brought on by themselves. So Ron is, of course, the 2015 PGA of America Lifetime Achievement Award winner. He didn't really start covering golf until the age of 45. Big baseball guy, longtime AP writer, and was instrumental in getting the Associated Press to start covering the women's game in 1996, which is sort of an amazing thing to think about in itself. And he now lives on Cape Cod. He's playing a lot of golf. He's a Pennsylvania native, loves his Pirates, and is a super guy and still a Golf Channel contributor as well, and covering the LPGA at times. So we discuss that later on in the show. But obviously, we wanted to discuss this breaking news and this interesting story to the world of golf related to the USGA and Fox. Here's my chat with Ron. So, Ron, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you by the news of this switch back to NBC from Fox for USGA coverage?
Honestly, I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. I can't believe that either side was happy with the way the deal was going. Fox was losing money, and the USGA wasn't getting the exposure that they dreamed of and that they were, quite frankly, promised when the deal was being negotiated.
When I went back and read your piece, which I will post with the show notes here, and it really is an incredible thing to read now. Here we are since the deal kicked in. It was announced in 2013, kicked in 2015. And one of the main reasons for the USGA going to Fox, or was claimed, was to raise its stature. They felt like they had been diminished based on ratings versus the Masters. So how would you say now, here we are a few years into the deal and it's ending and it's going back to NBC. How did that prediction work out for then USGA president Glenn Nager?
Yeah, you know, multiple sources told me at the time that Glenn Nager was haunted with the slogan, the Masters, a tradition on, you know, like no other.
Yeah.
That he heard that starting with the Super Bowl and through March Madness and the Final Four. And he just spent months hearing that slogan. And he wanted the U.S. Open to have that kind of stature. Well, you know, they were promised a lot of things. They were promised that Fox could use the Super Bowl as a platform to promote USGA events. Well, of course, Fox doesn't have the Super Bowl every year, so yeah, there was a flaw in that argument right from the beginning. But there were also promises of elaborate pre-tournament coverage, elaborate post-tournament coverage, that they would use USGA archives to produce documentaries. And at the time, Sarah Hirschlin, who was a key executive at the USGA who was very involved in negotiating this deal, told me there's going to be all this other ancillary programming. And I don't think that ever came to be. Plus, all those second-tier USGA events, like the boys and the girls junior and stuff, sort of got lost and did not get the love it would have gotten if they had been on Golf Channel, which is part of the deal if you have a deal with NBC.
Right. So back at the time this was done, obviously we have that element, the feeling or claim that they felt underappreciated or lost and somehow in some sort of corporate shuffle at NBC. And of course, it then turned out they got lost in the Fox world because it just wasn't a fit with the other sports that they were carrying on FS1. But a lot of this was really about Fox Sports 1, wasn't it? Just establishing that as a channel, and they just were willing to pay even if they lost money.
Well, the USGA's timing couldn't have been better. Fox Sports 1 had started up. NBC was starting up an all-sports station. These competitors were all jumping in to take on ESPN, and there were big rights fees battles over Wimbledon tennis, over English Premier League soccer, over U.S. Open tennis, and then golf became part of that, and then Fox jumped in and probably overpaid to get it. Certainly, they weren't getting back. I figured my calculations, it was about $93 million a year. And really, the USGA has 16 national championships, one of which gets significant TV ratings, and that's the Men's US Open. And so what you found out was the other things, were not bringing eyeballs, to FS1 or to Fox in the way that they thought they were going to.
Yeah, I don't know how they thought they would, but that that really is a mystery, which does make you wonder when you go back and read your story, how much of this was really just about cash and money. And I understand the prominence argument. One of the things that I noted I had forgotten in your piece was that you mentioned that they were really inspired in part to be aggressive by the USTA's deal, moving from CBS to ESPN for 11 years, $825 million. And of course, that has been an incredible deal for the USTA with no offense to CBS, but clearly ESPN has raise the bar on the U.S. Open. They've put a roof on the stadium. It's been successful. How has it been for the USGA in terms of what Nagger predicted?
I can't think of a metric on which you can say.
Yeah, there isn't one, right?
It's been a rousing success. Look, Jeff, when I first realized that there was a significant problem with the deal was the 2016 U.S. Women's Open, Corderval, California. We got out there and you're thinking, oh, this is a great time to take women's golf, put it into East Coast prime time.
Yeah. Beautiful venue. Yeah, the whole thing.
First round, they had the dream pairing, 1, 2, and 3 in the world. It was Lexi Thompson, I think Aria Jatanagarn, and I don't know, maybe Brooke Henderson. But it was, well, they went off the air with that group on the 14th hole because they had other programming to get to. Well, we get to the weekend now. So instead of ending at 6 or 7 o'clock California time, taking it into 9, 10 o'clock East Coast prime time, they ended at 3 in the afternoon on Saturday because they had baseball commitments that they needed to do. And on Sunday, they ended at 3 in the afternoon in California time because they didn't want to run into the Simpsons, which is a rating boffo thing for them. So here you go. One of the advantages of all this added exposure that USGA events are going to get in the Women's U.S. Open, an event that the USGA desperately wants to quit losing money on and wanted to elevate the profile of, and they get there, they have a chance to put it on primetime TV, and they end up not doing that.
Well, I'll answer the question and say I think the USGA lost significant relevance, in part just because of the Golf Channel's reach during this time. Now, where that goes into the future with cord cutting, I don't know. But one of the things in your story that I noticed that really stood out was Glenn Nagar, the president at the time, who really orchestrated this deal, was very snippy about the number of hours of coverage that Fox would give the USGA's big events, plus the number of other events that would be covered. They had since cut back this year to 7 from 8. I know from NBC that they had pledged to do some form of coverage of all USGA championships. So right there, it was kind of a killer. But as you know, I think the biggest killer was this thing that kept happening where they would just cut away. You know, U.S. Amateur at Pebble Beach, same thing happened. Beautiful late evening at Pebble Beach, great matches. And the first day they left. And I think the second day they left. They stayed with the matches on Friday, I believe, as I recall. So it just showed they just didn't. It just was not a match made in heaven. That's not really a question.
And the other systemic problem that was built into this cake from the very beginning was that this was Fox's only golf property. Mm. So Fox, which certainly improved after, I mean, it couldn't, that first debut at Chambers Bay probably couldn't have been worse than it was, you know, so they got better, particularly on the production side, but they did not do enough golf events for their crew to improve. They weren't getting enough reps to improve their chemistry. Yeah. You know, the both NBC and CBS do so many just regular PGA Tour events that their crews develop a chemistry. They know how to play off each other. And the Fox people weren't getting that because this was all they had. And they weren't even using their A crew at really any event other than the Men's U.S. Open.
Right. Before we take a break, I'll leave you with this quote from Glenn Nagar. And of course, it all got off to such a brutal start. They announced this while the PGA Championship is going on at Oak Hill. And there was a PGA of America dinner, and Glenn Nagar went to that. And he told you for this story, several people came over to congratulate me. One said it was the biggest thing to happen to golf since Tiger won the 1997 Masters. Now that's some serious delusional thinking. I won't ask you as the longtime AP man to comment on that. We'll take a quick break here on the Shaq Show, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Fox, and then also get into some women's golf issues coming up with their return.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, Ron. So you mentioned they got off to that horrible start, but would you agree or feel that they did finally really step up and actually deliver the thing? One of the things they promised at the beginning, which was innovation. Did they do it? I think they did, but.
Yeah, I think they did. I think technically we did see a lot of innovation in there. One of the things that they focused on that, you know, they're very, very good at it in football, for instance, is bringing you sound to the games, you know, and in addition to some of the visual stuff that they did, they were very respectful of if there was a conversation going on between a player and a caddy, they were going to step aside and let you listen to that, let you hear it. So they became more aware of trying to bring the viewer inside the ropes. Yep. and have them and add to that feeling. Yes, they improved on that. No.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah. And I mean, we've seen that here with CBS dealing with this issue with no fans in this return. Right. And trying to get more sound, and it's still a struggle with the players, but obviously I think the fans have spoken that people have sound systems now that are better, and it's just different. And then of course they also, I think the tracer is sort of underrated, that they really have forced right. that on the other networks. Wouldn't you say though that going forward it's going to be without them, it's back to essentially two operations that we're relying on to innovate?
Well, you know, I think the one thing that that the USGA miscalculated on in this whole thing was the importance of golf channels as part of the NBC deal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, let's go to some of those second tier or third tier USGA events. Go to like the boys and the girls junior. Golf Channel would cover that gavel to gavel, you know?
Yeah.
It's what they do. It's all they do. Same thing with the four-ball tournament, you know? I mean, all those events would have gotten far, far more exposure, and there would have been pregame and postgame shows and live froms and all those other things that the Golf Channel does, because that's who they are, the Golf Channel. And I think the USGA sort of whiffed on understanding the importance of what Golf Channel brought to the NBC deal.
Yeah, and I think it was really a cluster of people, as you detailed in your story, Gary Stevenson, Sarah Hirschlin, Casey Wasserman, whose firm was consulting, and he was having discussions with Brian Roberts of Comcast up at Sun Valley. I mean, some of the details you have are just so fascinating to read now. Is the problem that they weren't golf people?
Well, you know, there was this little, I think that's part of the problem. There was also like sort of a North Carolina cabal in all this, you know, that seemed to be. And when they started to set the stage for this, Jim Hyler, who also has North Carolina roots, was the USGA president then. And he's the one who started moving aside some of the USGA people who had close ties to NBC people. Mark Carlson, who was still technically still negotiating TV rights, was taken out of this TV contract negotiations. David Fay ended up leaving as longtime executive director of the organization, and they really started setting up a negotiating team that had not been involved with NBC during the 20 years that NBC had the contract. Because Nager was worried those people had a built-in bias as to where they wanted it to go. And so, yes, there were people who, and quite frankly, Nager didn't have a deep, lengthy tradition in golf. You know, he was relatively, he had been fast-tracked from the executive committee of the USGA into the president's role. Looking back on it, probably in large part to negotiate this deal.
It's an inside golf business story, and I think for a lot of people now, it probably is sort of, okay, you know, why do we care other than what do we get more tracer and do we get good drone shots? But why is it important for the USGA to be relevant and to be strong and to get out of kind of this hole where they've been weakened by this?
Yeah, you know, and think of the time when this came along where the USGA in some ways was being almost challenged by the PGA of America as the leader of the, you know, the representative of the rank and file golfer in America, the long putter ban, the ban on not being able to post handicap scores for a solo rounds of golf. There were several things that the USGA did that a lot of people that I play golf with looked at and said, wait a minute, that doesn't speak to me, you know, And so this came along at a time when their authority in the game was being weakened in other areas and being sort of very subtly challenged by the PGA of America, which was beginning to be seen more and more as representing the grassroots golfer. I do think that getting back to they're going to get a lot of love from NBC and Golf Channel now. Going back on this contract, and it's going to play out very, very well for them that way.
Well, especially because based on the reporting that we got by your friend at AP, Doug Ferguson, and Joe Flint, and Wall Street Journal and Sports Business Journal as well, by John Oran, that it sounds like NBC's paying what they paid in the previous deal. And Fox is picking up the rest. That's incredible. One would hope that translates to being able to throw out all the bells and whistles at everything they do.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that was a point of contention is NBC always said that they were promised that they would get last at bats in the contract negotiation, and that Nager reneged on that promise. And there's conflicts about whether that's true or not. But NBC probably came in about $10 million a year under the number that Fox was putting up there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could very well be that $10 million a year now amounts to what is Fox's buyout fee, you know, because that's less than they were losing per year on, $93 million a year. That's a lot of money to have to get back. When you're talking about, a good rating for the US Open is like an 8 maybe, you know? And it's hard to make the money back with that kind of rating.
And now that you are not exactly in a working in an environment where you have to be careful what you say about bifurcation, that big, ugly, dirty word, do you think that's weakened the USGA's position by holding firm on the idea that bifurcation of the rules, so that there are rules for pros and rules for amateurs? Do you think that's weakened them?
Well, I think it hasn't. You know, I mean, I know, you know, one of the things about the quarantine and everything that we've been going through, I haven't traveled this little since 1986. So I'm playing more golf than I've played since I was in high school. And the guys that I play golf with at my club, we have a de facto bifurcation.
Right.
Anyway, people, there are gimmies, there are mulligans, there are all these things that people do that aren't in the rules of golf. Now, I think changes in the rules, like the out of bounds lost ball mm-hmm. change, you know, that's a good change.
Yeah,
that's something that helps the pace of play. The flag stick thing probably helps the pace of play, although probably has had way more of an impact on the pro game than on the amateur game, because people are making people who didn't use to putt so well are putting better.
Yeah,
just anecdotally to me, but I do think that's true. And Jeff, when distance is going to become a significant issue for the game is when, look, you know how much I love baseball. One of the great things about baseball, Wrigley Field and Fenway Park were built in 1912 and they're still relevant.
Yeah.
We can't afford to lose the Wrigley Fields and the Fenway Parks of golf. You know, if there's already four par fours at St. Andrews that are drivable if there's no wind there.
Right.
We don't want Augusta National or St. Andrews or these great venues to become obsolete, and if 340-yard drives become the norm and that becomes a danger, then it's an issue that they're going to have to deal with. But I just keep getting the feeling that they keep taking baby steps towards bifurcation and that it's inevitable, but it's happening probably slower than it should.
Yeah. And by the way, one other thing I realized when you were discussing that, just back to the USGA Fox deal, that extra money brought them more headaches with golf professionals and wanting more money thrown into the purse, not spent growing the game. And it was another byproduct of this deal, I would say. Let's take a quick break, and then I want to talk LPGA.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday
and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Pacaso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
All right, Ron, so speaking of golf courses and our Wrigley Fields of golf, the LPGA announced something that just shocked a lot of us and thrilled the architecture geeks of the world and the golf history buffs of the world, that they are going to restart on July 31st at Inverness and Toledo. Have you covered, I assume, you? I think you covered the 93 PGA there? That'd
yes,
be right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So that's pretty exciting. I mean, in terms of venue quality, first of all, Inverness has been away for a while, and now it's had a restoration, and very exciting. I mean, it was great pre-restoration and just had some clunky holes, but now it looks just sensational. Pretty big coup for Mike Wan and the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, and there's a lot that makes sense about that. The Solheim Cup is going to be at Inverness next year. So this is a way of sort of, it's almost like a preview of the Solheim Cup to get people talking about it. And then they are going to stay in Toledo for the next week for the Marathon Classic. So they're gonna have back-to-back tournaments in the same town. So that, you know, cuts down on the travel there.
Right.
144 players playing for $1 million the first week, 156 playing for $2 million the second week. So they get back going on a good venue, and some of the sponsors whose tournaments have not postponed but were canceled this year in the LPGA are involved in putting up the money for that first tournament, and essentially just giving the players a payday.
Yeah. You know,
they haven't had a payday for a long time, and the LPGA, both as an organization and as its players, don't have anywhere near the safety net below them that PGA Tour players have. They're playing for 1/5 the money that PGA Tour players have. So the players aren't as rich. The organizations aren't as rich. The PGA Tour probably could afford to lose this entire year and still be okay.
Mm. What is your sense from players about this return? Are they feeling good about it? Do they feel it's the right time? Or is there some trepidation?
I think that the players have an enormous trust in Mike Wan, the commissioner. And if you look at it, the LPGA was one of the first sports organizations affected by COVID-19. They played the first two events in Florida, the next two in Australia. Then they were supposed to go China, Thailand, Singapore. Well, on January 30th, first, they canceled China. February 2nd, they canceled Thailand, Singapore. So they started canceling events really before anybody else did because of where they play. The other challenge for the LPGA, about 30% of their players live outside the United States. And Mike Wan made a promise to them, I'm going to give you enough of a heads up. You know, I'm going to give you 45 days notice. So you have time to get back into the United States, quarantine if you have to, and get ready to play. So I think the players feel that if Mike Wan thinks that it's safe to come back to play, to compete now at the end of July and in this venue, then they're going to trust him. What'll be interesting is in August, they're supposed to play the Scottish Open and the Women's British Open,
right,
which is at Troon. You know, will those events happen? You know, will there be travel restrictions on Americans going over there? The tournament in Avion, France has been canceled. And then in October, they have another Asia swing, and everyone's holding their breath that happens.
Yeah. Well, so far the UK has not, the EU did go through with its restrictions today. And then also the CP Women's Open in Canada was canceled today.
Correct.
At the end of August. So the LPGA I have not seen much yet on what they're planning to do, but I assume they're going to use a lot of the things that the PGA Tour has been doing.
Well, you know, again, they don't have the finances to like do charter planes,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
to get players around. That they're not going to do that. They're going to be spectators at Marathon. I'm not entirely sure about the first one.
No, they're not at Inverness.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But the second one they are, and I would imagine that there's going to be restrictions on that. I'm supposed to do the Women's British Open and then the ANA Inspiration at Mission Hills in early September. But I don't know yet whether I'm going to be going to there, because I imagine there's going to be limits on how many people can be in the media center.
Yeah.
And I also think that the LPGA is going to have some financial considerations about how many people they can send on the road too.
You've been playing a lot of golf during this time. How's the game functioning where you are? Massachusetts was one of the last states to allow golf, as I recall. In fact, it was the last, I believe.
Yeah, we're still it's still one person per cart, unless it's a family member in there. Although they're coming up, I noticed today at the course they had carts with partitions between.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, between the driver's side and the passenger side.
Oh, good grief.
So now, Jeff, anecdotally, the National Golf Foundation is saying that sales of beginner sets of clubs are way up.
Mm.
And there's anecdotal evidence that there's a lot of new players to the game, and a lot of people who played the game quit are coming back to it. Because I think people are looking at golf as a healthy activity that you're social distancing just by the nature of the game.
Right.
At our golf course, you have to wear a mask until you get to the first tee.
Yeah.
Then you can take your mask off on the first tee. Because you're not really, we don't take the flag sticks out. We have no bunker rakes. We have no ball washers. And the other good thing about golf is you play your own equipment. You're not touching somebody else's equipment when they're out there. So people are looking at it, I think, now as a safe activity in these troubled times.
Yeah, the mask thing is, it makes perfect sense around the clubhouse, and then once you get on the course, it should be fine. Is your sense that this is more than just a temporary thing, that this is going to be a long-term boost for the sport?
I do. I think it's going to be a long-term boost in terms of numbers, but boy, I mean, there's other ways it's having an impact, like our pro shop's not open, so we're not selling any merchandise in there. Our club, I'm on Cape Cod. It's very, very pretty out where we are. We had 26 weddings scheduled for this year.
Right.
That's probably about $500,000 in revenue that we're not going to get at that club. So, the food service, everything, all that other spending is way down. Rounds played are up. We're getting. My course is, we have members, but we're also open to the public, particularly during tourist season. We get a lot of people in there. We are doing great with off-street traffic that way. But there's, what they're spending on is just green fees and cart fees. All that other spending in the pro shop, in the snack bar, in the restaurant, all that other spending is been drastically impacted.
So 36 years, 18 with AP, 18 with Golf Digest, Golf World. What are your views on the state of media as you're now sort of watching this and dipping in at times, still doing coverage? But I sense you're probably glad you worked when you worked. How's that for a leading question?
Well, I got old at the right time.
Okay.
Golf World magazine folded in 2014. And, NBC Fox USGA story that you reference, Golf Digest gave me 2,600 words to write that story. I don't think there's too many magazine pieces that are that long now. In 2007, I went with six LPGA players for 2 weeks on a humanitarian mission to Rwanda. Betsy King had organized it. Julie Inkster was on that trip. Went over, and they gave me 4,500 words to write that story, 10 pages in the magazine. I don't know if we're seeing that kind of in-depth stuff. When I did the NBC Fox USGA story for 6 weeks, Golf Digest, it was all I did.
Right.
They just detached me, to work only on that story for 6 weeks. And I don't know, I think when I watched the movie Spotlight about the Boston Globe's coverage of the of the sex abuse scandal in the Catholic Church. And I keep thinking, wow, they worked for like 2 years on that story. You know, I mean, yeah. Who has the financial resources to let reporters do that kind of reporting now? So I'm, in terms of golf, man, you know, I started with Jack Nicklaus, I ended with Tiger Woods. So it doesn't get any better than that. And I covered at a time when print journalism was still extremely relevant and prosperous.
Well, I can't thank you enough for taking a little time after your golf to share your wisdom. And like I said, I will be putting up in the show notes the link to the story. It has aged very well in case you haven't read it in a while. I don't know if you ever go back and do you ever go back and read your stuff?
You know, I do. And I reread that story. I think the first new, well, I woke up yesterday morning to a text from you about the TV deal and a text from a source that I had at NBC about the deal. And I went back and I reread my story then. And I'm always surprised when I go back and I'll say, gee, that story is not as bad as I remembered it being. Because usually by the time I get to the end of working on a story, I hate the story.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've just been around it so much, I feel like, oh, this is just horrible. And that one was less bad than I remembered it being.
So. And it's probably a sign that you also exhausted all possible avenues to get the story right. So it's why you're an outstanding reporter. Ron, thank you so much for the time. And again, I will urge everybody to go check out the piece. And we'll look forward to your coverage when the LPGA Tour returns.
Always a pleasure, Jeff. Look forward to crossing paths down the road.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Good to hear Ron's voice again. And not so good in some respects for the good folks at Fox who did really pull it together the last few years and do a super job that one big week a year and the other weeks that they worked. So it's a strange story. It's been an incredible story that we've all covered. And it's a very first world inside business story. But I think golf people enjoy a good business story. They're interested in it. It tells you a lot about the people running the game and where all this money goes and what it all means for viewers. And TV stories are, of course, fascinating just because it's such a big part of the product of golf and the presentation of it. And it so radically alters our enjoyment of a broadcast depending on how it's put forward. And then, of course, it is just, and as the TV people will tell you, the toughest sport of all to cover. Hey, The Shack Show is produced by Tim Perochkin, is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts from iHeart, please visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. So until next time, please be safe and thank you for listening to The Shack Show.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.